listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today. The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams, pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Live from the Play Show Yet Not Overly Ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome to week four. Welcome to a Thursday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS. I'm going to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, well, Rocket can. And producing this extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
Coming up, hour 20 from now, Dave Doran, the head football coach at NC State. They're ranked number 10 in the country, and they go up against Clemson this weekend. And Clemson's also in the top 10, sitting there at number 5. And we know last year, Clemson lost to NC State in overtime, so we'll see if Dave Doran and company, that are ranked in the top 10 for the first time in 20 years, can make it back-to-back this upcoming weekend as they go to Death Valley to go up against Dabo Sweeney and a red-hot now DJ Uiagalelei with the Clemson Tigers. And then coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, always love when we get to reconnect with Mike Golic. He'll be stopping by to really welcome us in to week four of the NFL season. And that's where we have to start things off for tonight. This is a Dolphins-Bengals game where if you tell me the Dolphins win, you clearly won't be surprised if they're sitting there at 4-0 after tonight. And if the Bengals find a way to get it to 2-2, that would not be surprising whatsoever. Personally, I think the Bengals are going to edge out the Dolphins. I have a lot of respect for what Miami has shown the first 3 weeks. You see, they start off the year beating up my team pretty good, the Patriots. Then they were down 35-14 in the fourth quarter. They come on back and take down the Ravens. And last week, even though every statistical category, it looked like Buffalo was better than Miami, Miami just found a way. And something is working right with Miami right now. And it's wild when you go around the entire NFL, as we're now about to start week four of the season, you only have two undefeated teams. Now, I don't know what the math is, but it just feels like to me, usually at this point, there's more than just two undefeated teams. So there's been a lot of sloppy play early on. There's been some upsets early on as well. A lot of movement this offseason. So players trying to get on the same page with their new coach and their new teammates, all that jazz. It just feels like this is a week where Miami is due to lose. And honestly, if they win tonight, and this could be a wild statement to say, this may be their most impressive win of the season. Now, magnitude-wise, yeah, the Buffalo game is more important. Yes, the comeback against the Ravens was spectacular when Tua Tagovailoa tossed four fourth-quarter passing touchdowns. But this is a tricky spot. Short week, you have a quarterback who we thought it was a concussion, then it was ruled not a concussion, and it's a back injury. He's going to give it a go. And also, you got to remember, this is a team that is starting to really feel themselves now, is starting to get put right into the national spotlight. You have Tyreek Hill, you have Jalen Waddle, Tua Tagovailoa, and Mike McDaniel getting flowers just thrown at their feet through the first 3 weeks of the season. And you wonder, with a team that has not made the playoffs in a long time, a team that is supposed to be a playoff team this year. Going into the season, there was an expectation that anything short of making the playoffs would be an unmitigated disaster for the Miami Dolphins. You're always just curious how a team like that is going to respond when so far everything that has been thrown their way, they have hit it right out of the park and they have found a way to walk out with three victories. So not that you need to be more impressed with Miami. Miami is a heck of a team, very good defense. You also have just an explosive offense. Well, they will never be out of a game this year as long as Tua stays healthy, because you have the ability, even if Teddy Bridgewater needs to come in to weather the storm for a little bit, you have the ability to come from behind so quickly just because, hey, you could make up a lot of yards in such a very easy kind of way because of the speed of not only Tyreek Hill, but also Jalen Waddle. And I'll give credit, too, because on Eye on Football, which airs each and every Sunday in the regular season, hosted by yours truly for 8 hours on CBS Sports Radio, which gets going every Sunday in football season starting at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, we had River Craycraft on the show, and he's been cut 9,000 times in this league, finally elevated from the practice squad, his touchdowns in back-to-back weeks. And he joined us on Sunday, and he talked about how this team is staying level-headed. They'll enjoy that victory for 24 hours, but then they're on to the next one, because that's just kind of the tone and the mentality that Mike McDaniel has brought to this team. And I'll give Mike McDaniel credit, because going into this year, I truly did not know what to expect. I think everyone was loving Mike McDaniel just because he's friendly with the media and he gives you some funky, interesting, sometimes bizarre quotes. But Mike McDaniel, through the first 3 weeks of the season, he has really shown that not only is he an adult in the room, but he knows how to hit the right button. And not only knows how to hit the right button, he is a true leader of men. And he has the respect of that locker room in Miami. And that goes a long way in the NFL when you can make people feel that way the first 3 weeks of the season. And so far, every calculated decision that he's made at the end of a 60-minute game, he's walked out 1-0, 1-0, 1-0 to combine to a record of 3-0 to start this season. Now, on the flip side here, Cincinnati, ugly start to the year. You lose a game that you were getting blown out by, then you should have went and won it, and you lose in overtime to the Steelers. You then have a week two performance up against Cooper Rush and the Cowboys, which was a bad offensive showing. And then last week, you got served the easy dose of medicine. You guys aren't feeling well. We'll give you the Jets. You'll find a way to look competent. That's just the way that it works. That Bengals team, I have the same concern about them last year as I do this year. And I know the standard has changed in Cincinnati. I know the expectation has changed in Cincinnati. And we look at the Bengals differently, where last year, no one, and I mean no one, other than Buckeye Pete that listens to this show, Pat that listens to this show, who sent us a tweet and we ridiculed him. He called in and we laughed at him and we go, what the heck are you smoking? What are you sipping on? When he told us last year that the Cincinnati Bengals were not only going to win the AFC North, but they were going to go to the Super Bowl. That's what he said. And I'm like, what? You'll be lucky if you finish in third place. And we were wrong on that one. I think the entire world was wrong. I don't even know if many people were wrong, because no one had expectations for Cincinnati, even though we really liked their young quarterback in Joe Burrow. Even though the wide receivers, there were big expectations with Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, and Tyler Boyd. But when you've been in the pit of misery, let's just say, for so many years, you just don't anticipate that Rome is going to be basically built in one season. And if Joe Burrow had a half second longer against my guy, Dr. Teals, and Aaron Donald, Mr. Dr. Teals, they would have won that Super Bowl, because Jamar Chase was wide open down the right sideline. But we have seen a constant trend the first 2 years and three games for Joe Burrow. Where if you go up against a competent defense, and the Jets were not that, he gets hit, and not only does he get hit, he gets hit an abnormal amount of times. Last year, record-breaking. This offseason, what did every pundit say? Oh, they improved the offensive line. And they did. Lael Collins, Alex Kappa, Ted Karras. On paper, that offensive line was significantly improved. But through the first 2 weeks of the season, and I'm not even counting last week because it was up against the Jets, but maybe that's what starts to turn around, you have not seen a Bengals offensive line be any what better than where they were last year. And last year, they were getting spun around like a turnstile in Penn Station pre-COVID. So this is a major night for the Bengals where the Dolphins, yes, I'll be impressed that the Dolphins win short week. You're going to Cincinnati, quarterback banged up. And if you start the year off 4-0, you think the hype and the bandwagon is getting full right now for the Dolphins? Just wait to see what happens after tonight. But when we talk about importance, like the Dolphins, if they lose tonight and go to 3-1, I don't think we're questioning the Dolphins tomorrow unless they get blown out. I don't think we're hammering the Dolphins tomorrow. You go, you're bound to lose eventually. I'm going to go out on a limb here. This ain't going to be the 72 Dolphins. So you're going to lose the game eventually. And if I asked any Dolphins fan before the start of the season, after 4 weeks, you take 3-1, they would say, where can I sign? Because that would have mean you would have had three victories against either the Pats, the Ravens, also last week against Buffalo, and now the Bengals. Pick 3 out of 4, whatever 3 out of 4 you want, you would have got that. You would have taken that in an instant second. But now, if you look on it on the flip side for the Bengals, if they lose this game tonight, you start to really sweat. Like last week, they were 0-2. You knew that they had to win the game, but there was never a doubt if they could win that game. The question was just by how much were they going to win the game. But these next 2 weeks, starting tonight, can really change the narrative or make you feel better or worse about the Cincinnati Bengals. Because after tonight, you then play next Sunday up against the Baltimore Ravens. So you get Tua red hot with the Dolphins, and then a Ravens team, they're 2-1 right now, and their only loss is to the Miami Dolphins when that defense choked in the fourth quarter, even though you do got to give credit to Miami. The Bengals, bare minimum, they need to find a way to split these next two games. And tonight, you're going up against a really good defense. A defense where you don't have Brian Flores anymore, but the rest of the coaching staff stayed intact, and you have a defense that has the ability to create a lot of turnovers and cause havoc on an opposing team's quarterback. I know the yards were outrageous last week for the Buffalo Bills, but they kept Buffalo out of the red zone a lot. So this is a week where, and this is a game tonight, where I got to see the Cincinnati offensive line shake off the extended preseason and say, this is the start of our season. And even though you didn't like how the way the games went the first 2 weeks, you pull even to 2-2 tonight, then people, and I'm not saying that everyone's saying this guy's falling right now with Cincinnati, but you find a way to weather the storm and navigate a ship that has not had smooth sailing so far to start this season. If you win tonight, depending on the rest of the weekend does shake out, you could be tied for first place. With the Steelers being at 1-2, the Ravens at 2-1, and you have the Cleveland Browns at 2-1 as well, depending if you get some help from those teams when they go up against their opponents this upcoming weekend. So I lean towards Cincinnati tonight. It feels like Cincinnati has enough talent to get to 2-2, and they should not be a 1-3 team to start off the season, but it is tough. And this is the one thing you know about Miami. There were going to be games where you say, okay, very tough. And games that they probably couldn't win. But there's not a game on their schedule they can't win with what they've shown against the quality of opponents if they keep on playing the way that they've played through the first 3 weeks. And you look at the schedule, after this one, they play the Jets. Vikings, Steelers, Lions, Bears, Browns, Texans, 49ers, Chargers, Bills, Packers, Patriots, and then they wrap up the year up against the Jets. Other than that stretch of back-to-back-to-back weeks, Chargers, Bills, Packers, there's not many opponents left on this schedule that make you shake in your boots. So this is a good Miami team. It's a better Miami team than I thought. They still have to make the playoffs. They should make the playoffs. If they don't, it is a failure of a season. But I just feel like they'll drop one tonight in a very close game. How about you? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Hickey, I'm rolling with the Bengals tonight. I'll say that this is, the spread's right at 3.5. I'll lay the 3.5 on Cincinnati, and I'll say that the Bengals find a way to win by like a touchdown. Maybe this is, or even slightly less than a touchdown, like maybe 28-24 is the type of game that we get to see tonight. Who are you going with tonight?
I'm with you. I'm going to go to the Bengals.
I'll say like 28. Dolphins, you're starting the year off 4-0. That's what that means.
28-17. I think a little bit bigger than you think.
Oh, wow.
I'm a little concerned with Tua's health coming off a short week where he did get, you know, roughed up a lot. Even though he came back, played strong. There's, you know, the injury report's not great for Miami. I will say Bengals bounce back, go to 2-2, 28-17 at home.
Only 17 points for this, yes, this high-octane offense of the Miami Dolphins?
Maybe I'm wrong. I think it's a little sluggish here and the slow start kind of come back after a nice emotional win over Buffalo.
The Thursday night games are always so tough to predict because of the short week. And then the London games, I also never know how to predict. Like, on paper, the Minnesota Vikings should take care of the Saints, who are banged up, and the Vikings are a better team. On paper, they should take care of them easily this week. But that long flight going out to London, you never know how it affects a team when you have to adjust to the time zone. You have to get on a plane for a bunch of hours. You never know how that's going to pan out. But I would say that Minnesota should win the game this weekend. Do you disagree with that?
I'm with you, but would I bet it? Probably not, considering just London is freaky.
Yeah. And even though it's not prime time technically, because it's like 9:30 in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. You think prime time, Thursday night football, Sunday night football, Monday night football. That is an isolated game, and we know the quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings does not like isolated games.
That's a great point. Although I think it would be like 1:30 in London time, so he could fall back into the mental trap of just a 1 o'clock game. We'll get lost in the wash.
Isolated window, though. All eyes will be rolling out of bed at either 9 in the morning on the East Coast, 6 in the morning on the West Coast. See, that London game sucks for the folks on the West Coast. Some may be coming right back from the bar or waking up severely hungover. Get some eggs, get some bacon on the plate, and just open your eyes to watch some football. Like, even for us here on the East Coast, 9 a.m. on a weekend on a Sunday? You know, I'm a madman. I do the 8-hour show on Sunday, so I'll be up. But I try not to get up until like 9:30 on that football Sunday. You go out, you have a late dinner. That is an early wake-up call if you want to go invest your time in a little Vikings and Saints.
Now, I know there's no West Coast games this week, but imagine like you're a Seahawks fan or a Rams fan, and you wake up at 6 a.m. and your team just gets their doors blown off, too.
Yeah, it's brutal. It's tough. It's
tough way to start the week.
Well, it also ruins the rest of your day, too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, at least our football, if we have a 1 o'clock game, it's 4 p.m., all right, you get the Sunday scaries, order up some Chinese food, and then pass out, you know, maybe have a drink or something, and then go right to bed. 1 o'clock on a Sunday, on the West Coast, your weekend could be not only donezo, but you still have to survive through the rest of Sunday.
10 a.m., your day could be already shot.
That's true if you get off to an ugly start.
Man, can't go back to bed after that.
Yeah. And yeah, and you may need some performance enhancers if you want to go to bed right after that. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. When we return, 2021 quarterbacks that were drafted in the first two rounds. How are we feeling about them the rest of the way as they're all in year number two? Zach Gelb Show, CBS.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Nice little touch by Hickey on this Thursday edition of The Zach Gelb Show, as I did see yesterday that Coolio, unfortunately, did pass away at the age of 59. So rest in peace to Coolio as we bounce back here with some Gangsta's Paradise. It is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. I want to quickly transition as we started off this show talking about Joe Burrow and then talking about Tua Tagovailoa. Tua starting to show signs of being the guy in Miami and being put in the proper position to succeed. And you look at Joe Burrow, he had a huge moment last year going to the Super Bowl. And really, his father joined us right before that Super Bowl in the playoffs sometimes. And he said, wasn't it like a few weeks before that run where he started to really start to feel like himself? Because you got to remember, when you go through such a gruesome injury like that, and I know people now so quickly recover from ACL injuries, for quarterbacks, and I realized this early on when Brady came back after that 08 season, where the first game of the year, Chiefs, Bernard Pollard, injury. 09, like, he was good. But he didn't start to look like Tom Brady again until a year after that, because you got to remember, there is a physical component to it, and then there's also a mental component. And when you recover so quickly from that injury, you got to think about that injury. And not only think about that injury, think about getting hit too. And when you first get hit, you never know how your body's also going to react. But anyway, you have two young quarterbacks playing really well, and they'll be on stage tonight. And I just want to then go back to that 2021 quarterback draft class where there was big expectations. Trevor Lawrence, can't miss, transcendent prospect. You have Zach Wilson, who really elevated and shot up the draft board from BYU going second overall. Then you had such a confusing move, because I know that Jimmy G wasn't viewed as to be the guy in San Francisco, but you move up and you give up all those assets to get to number three, and at first it looked like they wanted to draft Mac Jones. Justin Fields was in the conversation, and it ended up being Trey Lance. And the bizarre spot with Trey Lance right now is this is now his second year in the league, and he's played, what, like three games? And he's out the rest of this year. So we talk about that injury. Mentally, physically, he'll be back next year. I don't think we really start to see the potential of Trey Lance, or it's going to be tough to really evaluate what Trey Lance could be until his fourth year in the league. Because next year, yeah, you could see some things, but it would almost be as if that's his rookie season, because the guy hasn't played a damn game yet. He hasn't played through a full season. Yeah, Justin Fields go, Mac Jones go in the first round too, and there was five first-round quarterbacks. And then in the second round, you had Davis Mills. So when we look at all those quarterbacks right now, hot take Hickey, let's just give quick thoughts about each of them. Trevor Lawrence. Last year, I don't hold anything against Trevor Lawrence. He was with an incompetent bozo as an NFL head coach in Urban Meyer. Now you have a professional head coach in Doug Peterson, who I was around in Philadelphia. He's not always the most popular guy in the room. He's very player friendly. He sometimes says things where you're like, you cringe. You go, what the heck is this guy saying? But he has results. He has won a Super Bowl with Nick Foles And he made Carson Wentz look like an MVP in Philadelphia. And he brought Philadelphia their first and only Lombardi Trophy. For Trevor, this seems like, even though he had the experience last year, this seems as if this is his first real year in the NFL because he's getting put in a position to succeed. And that will be a common trend here with all these quarterbacks. How much is it your greatness? How much is it is your incompetence compared to are you being put in a position to succeed? For the first time in this two-year process, Trevor Lawrence is being put in a position to succeed, and you see what he's doing. Not that the Jaguars are a lock to make the playoffs. Can they contend in this crappy division? Absolutely. But Trevor Lawrence is 2-1. They go to Philadelphia this week, which will be a good test for them. I don't think they win the game, but if they keep it close, you'll feel good about it. And he has 6 passing touchdowns to 1 interception and has 772 passing yards through 3 games. So he is making an improvement here. And I don't think it's just a coincidence. Urban Meyer's, obviously Urban Meyer's gone. And now you have a legit head coach in there in Doug Peterson. So I think Trevor Lawrence, I'm not going to say he's going to take the league by storm this year. I'm not going to say he's going to be a transcendent quarterback this year, but he's going to start to show you that I am the number one overall pick for a reason, and I'm going to give you some belief at the end of the year that I am the guy to really lead this franchise moving forward.
You said it before. I'm going to steal it and use it here. Rome is not built in a day. Trevor Lawrence is not going to go from zero like he was last year in large part to Urban Meyer to hero and like you said, be a top 5 quarterback. But through 3 games, he's shown you progress. He's shown you poise. He's gotten better. He's coming off a game in which they just drubbed the Chargers. Like, he is already kind of showing you, taking steps to be a franchise guy and get the Jaguars team in a right position to succeed. You hit the nail on the head. So far, so good with Trevor Lawrence.
Zach Wilson, hurt first 3 games of the year, coming back this weekend up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is a game that I'm intrigued by, even though nationally, Jets Steelers does not have any buzz to it because the Jets stink and the Pittsburgh Steelers most likely are going to miss the playoffs this year. But here's what I want to see. 2 things in this game. Zach Wilson up against a good good Steelers defense. And I know TJ Watt's still out. And then also, you have Mitch Trubisky. Really, this is last stand. He doesn't get off to a good start against the Jets that have a pathetic defense. You don't go get a touchdown or two at Heinz Field or whatever they call that stadium now. Who cares? I still call it Heinz Field. If you don't get a touchdown or two to open up that game, you know what the fans are going to be chanting? Put in Kenny. Put in Kenny. And we'll probably have Jersey Jerry from Barstool Sports leading the charge on that because he's going to that game. He's going to join us tomorrow as he does each and every Friday on a Football Friday on the Zach Gelb Show. But for Zach Wilson, you have some weapons now led by Garrett Wilson. You have a lot of good ability and athleticism, but you still have the stench of it's the Jets. And I know the Bengals just turned it around, but Robert Saleh is not looking like this tremendous coach. I know LaFleur, who's really the offensive guy on that staff, being the offensive coordinator, there's a lot of optimism with him, but there's a lot working against Zach Wilson. Now, he needs to find a way to turn garbage into gold. And what you really need to see, because you do have some weapons to throw the football to, that connection take off and soar with Zach and Garrett Wilson. Like, the Jets aren't going to win any more than 4 or 5 games this year. But Zach Wilson has to start to make plays because Sam Darnold did not make plays when he was with the Jets. And there was you didn't have 5 moments that you could say after his time that go, wow, individually he did this. And yes, he was partnered with the terrible coach at Adam Gase. And there was always that thought of, oh, it was Adam Gase that ruined Sam Darnold. But what did Sam Darnold ever show? He didn't. Zach Wilson has to show you like 5 moments at the end of the year. You go, oh, I remember A, B, C, D, and E. And those are the moments that you got to remember with Zach Wilson. So that's what I look for.
I don't think it's hyperbole to say there's pressure on him this year, right? Like, I think last year is the worst quarterback on the Jets roster. And that had, Joe Flacco starting games. this year, not that Joe Flacco was great by any stretch. He put up some numbers. He had receivers.
A good 90 seconds.
He put up, I would agree. He's not very good.
Stop. He had a good 90 seconds. That's the only thing you could say about the Jets so far. They had a good 90 seconds against the Browns.
He was, I think, top three in passing yards.
Stop. What are you, pro football focused now? Tell me Mahomes isn't a top 10 quarterback after his week one performance.
He put up big numbers.
Stop.
That's all I'm saying.
Honestly, it is embarrassing that I'm allowing you to comment on these quarterbacks with the way that you've commented on quarterbacks the last 2 years.
All I'm saying is Zach Wilson needs to play well. You mentioned Garrett Wilson. You have Elijah Moore. You got some running game. You have a better line than what he had the last 2 years. Start to show, start to put up make some plays. Like I said, start to show a pulse.
Trey Lance can't show anything. We know he's out. He's hurt. And really, I wonder how they're going to approach it in the offseason. Like, he's going to be back. He's going to be their guy starting next year. Because I don't think the 49ers are going on this run. And Jimmy Cheese did not make a good start to this. Let's revitalize myself out in San Francisco. With running out of the end zone for a safety, pulling Orlovsky. But for Trey Lance, I hate to say it, and we haven't really seen much of him, there's going to be a stigma with him now. And there's going to be an ominous feeling of, you haven't played in 3 years. At North Dakota State, COVID was out with the whole change of schedule and the shift of the season. Last year, barely got on the field, and this year, unfortunately, got hurt. That's a guy that's going to be thrown right into the fire next year, coming off an injury. And remember, that's going into what would be year number three of that contract. After year number three, you got some big decisions to make. Now, you pick up the fifth-year option and all that stuff, but there's some thoughts about the future for Shanahan and Lynch, who they need to start seeing something from Trey Lance because they really risk their reputations by going up and aggressively drafting Trey Lance. Now, let's get to Justin Fields. Some of it is on definitely the coaching staff that he was partnered with last year. Now you have a new regime. They are 2-1, but they are not 2-1 because of Justin Fields. They are 2-1 because of Khalil Herbert, and you had the rain in week one. You were very big on Justin Fields, hot take, Icky. Where are you at with Justin Fields? I know this is not the most talented roster in the world, but he has not shown you really much so far as an NFL starting quarterback, and he did not help himself with some of the comments that he made after the Packers game with Bears fans.
It's tough. What I will say, I used to be very, if you want to say, treat quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, with kid gloves, maybe too cautious at times. To your point that you made, we have seen almost every great quarterback in the NFL at one point or another have a bad team and still make plays around him, especially young, with whether it's Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. Justin Fields so far has a terrible team. No flash plays. Like you said, I can't even point to really one highlight he's made in his career so far in the first, whatever, his 15 games he started.
And he has all the excuses, too.
He does.
Like, I killed the Bears. He has all the excuses in the world, but he's starting to run out of excuses very quickly.
Line stinks, receiver.
It's getting late early for Fields.
Yeah. It is. You're right. It's tough, and it's very frustrating, but unfortunately, it's kind of the way it is almost, right?
Yeah. And then we talk about, this is my biggest gripe. Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones is good. Mac Jones has shown me some things last year. Goes 10-7 year one. They didn't ask him to do much, but that guy's a leader. He's tough. I know he's day-to-day, but he's trying to play this week and with a high ankle sprain from what we're told. I like Mac Jones. I think Mac Jones can be a good quarterback. I don't know if he could be a great quarterback, but he's not being put in a position to succeed. Like, look what the Dolphins have been doing. Look at what the Eagles have been doing. You got to talk me into what? Kendrick Bourne, Devontae Parker, Jacoby Myers. None of those guys are number one wide receivers. And you have two failed head coaches that are not offensive guys in Patricia and Judge calling the plays. That's a big time problem. My concern isn't with Mac Jones. My concern in an organization that has a lot of trust the last 20 years, in an organization may be ruining him because they don't really give him the weapons to go ball out.
I agree. I was going before he got hurt, kind of throw this year out, kind of like Trevor Lawrence last year, because you're Matt Patricia and Joe Judge are the two guys in your ear.
And finally, before we get to the update, I think we could all agree that Davis Mills, as a starting quarterback, the only way he's starting next year for the Texans is if they want to give Stroud or Young or Levis or Richardson, whoever that is, some time to just get acclimated in Houston. We all know that the Texans are going to be drafting a quarterback this year in the first round.
my push for Davis Mills to possibly be the franchise guy has not gone too well so far.
As I said, when it comes with quarterbacks, you're really good with the linemen. You're really good with the receivers. You're really good with the long snappers, the kickers, the punters. When it comes to quarterbacks, if Hickey makes a push or embraces your quarterback, start looking for a new one. That's the slogan.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
Hey guys, Mike Valeni for Cash the Ticket podcast. If you like sports betting or if you just like sports, it's the podcast for you. We try to cover all the big games and maybe some of the games you didn't even know were important, give you some angles, pick some winners, have a good time, and hopefully help you meander through college and pro football season. So join us a couple times a week to get all your information you need to bet the games that you watch. It's Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Dave Doran of NC State going to be stopping by at 7:20 p.m. Eastern, 4:20 p.m. Pacific. And then Mike Golic will be joining us at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific on this Thursday. You do have week four of the NFL season kicking off in a few hours, as Joe Burrow does host Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. As you remember that draft class, Burrow goes one at one of the great seasons you ever see from a quarterback, and no one's even talking about him being a first-round pick. Like, what, did anyone talk about like a fifth or a sixth-round pick? You don't really talk about that, but that was what the conversation was going to be for Burrow. It's one of the greatest seasons you'll ever see. And you had Tua go all the way down to five, where it was tank for Tua, tank for Tua, tank for Tua. He ends up going to the Dolphins because Dolphins are better than what you would have expected that year. And then you did have Justin Herbert going at number six. And it'll be fascinating to see where we talk about those three quarterbacks 5 years from now. Burrow's already shown a lot. Herbert statistically has been great. Now you got to win. And for Tua, this is his coming out party, and he's trying to remind people how good he could be. Hey, I heard Dana White on that rejoin talking about food. I am starving tonight. This is not one of those nights where I'm doing a smoothie at 10 p.m. Eastern when I get off work. And not that I'm going to pig out tonight, Hickey, but I got to order something within the next 30 minutes.
You're going to let your hair down a little bit?
Yeah. No, because I'm still going to eat healthy.
Okay.
But it's just not my normal time. What are you having for dinner tonight? What pasta are you having tonight?
I have some Alfredo. Some spaghetti with Alfredo sauce.
Yeah, you got
cacio de pepe.
You got to work on your pasta making skills a little bit.
In terms of spicing it up?
Yeah, in terms of you just can't do pasta every night.
I would agree.
I think we need to broaden your horizons.
Meal prepping, which I have to be better at. I would agree.
What
with
are
that.
You doing all day?
Getting ready for the show.
Oh, come on.
Trying to think of ideas.
You're telling me you could think of ideas and cook.
Not at the same time. I got to keep my eye on the food.
Stop. You can't multitask.
I mean, when it comes to making food, I got to make sure it's well prepared.
I think I'm going salad tonight.
Oof. That's.
Yeah, I was thinking a burger. There's a really good chicken sandwich from Westville. That's where I'm going, right next door. I think I'm doing the Westville Cobb.
Well,
keep
we'll
it
say,
healthy. Grilled chicken, bacon. I got to say no avocado. Because
no
I can't digest that, then I'll be dead in about an hour or thrown up. Blue cheese, romaine, mixed greens, balsamic lemon, dill vinaigrette. That's what I'm going with.
Especially you eating this like while you're on the air, like in breaks and stuff. You
salad's
gotta go
easy.
Light.
Salad's
yeah.
easy. Yeah.
Burger would be a loaf afterwards, you know?
Burger, I think I'd be down for the count. One, yeah. two, three. It's over.
Take
it's
a nice over. Nap afterwards yeah. at 8:30.
We're going to carry the game tonight right now. Let's go out. We'll call Howie Denneroff and see if we could get whoever's on the call tonight to just broadcast the game for us. That's what we'd probably do. So let's hear from John Sterling, the play-by-play voice of the New York Yankees, as Aaron Judge last night had a Judgian blast. Is that what he still says? Is that a Santonian blast? Whatever he does. All rise. Here comes the Judge. As Aaron Judge tied Roger Maris's AL record of 61 home runs last night. Listen up.
And the payoff. There goes the deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 61. He ties Roger Maris for the American League single season record with 61 home runs. It's a two-run Judgian blast. Here comes the Judge.
It's a good call. It's a very good call by John Sterling. So Judge hits his 61st home run. That ties him with Roger Maris. The next one, he has the AL record. So congratulations to Aaron Judge. After that, Sosa hit 63. When you go to the MLB record, Sosa 64, McGuire 65, Sosa 66, McGuire 70, and then Barry Bonds, your record leader at 73. And I say he is the leader because that's what it says in the record books. Now, you could bitch and complain about steroids. None of you were bitching and complaining about steroids while it was ongoing in, let's say, 98 to like 2001 when all those home runs were being hit, which it saved Major League Baseball. Now, it's up to you to tell the history of the game. You could say, yeah, Bonds had the most home runs in a single season, but he wasn't clean, and that's fine. But I don't like the way now that everyone today is saying, and Roger Maris Jr. as well, like, all right, you had all these games. Do I really need to hear your opinions on who's the home run king in your eye? And now it's going to be Aaron Judge on his next one? Like, give me a break. You know, when you were saying that about your father, fine. But for now, Judge, it's like I don't need to hear that necessarily. So I view Bonds as the all-time home run king and then the most home runs in a single season. But you also then can't ignore what did transpire in that era. But I just don't like ignoring the era and trying to pretend, Ryan, like it didn't happen just because players didn't go about it the right or clean way when while it was happening, we were all jumping up and down like fat kids in a candy store.
Can't have it both ways, right? You can't be in love with the chase and say, oh, this is great, and then all of a sudden say, ah, doesn't count, didn't happen, we didn't see it.
So not that you expect anyone to hit 60 home runs in a season going into this year. But it's not out of the realm of possibilities. Like, if McGuire didn't have that 98 season or Bonds didn't have that 2001 season, let's just say Sosa was the leader at 66, do you think it would change the conversation at all in terms of, yeah, Sosa, he used and all that, but do you think that conversation would shift? Because if you hit 61, it's not like 66 is out of reach, even though you don't have that many games left, but from where you were like heading into this final month of the season, when you look at 73, I think it's safe to say, even with how many home runs there are now in the game, it feels like it's home run or strikeout, that we'll never see a player hit 73 home runs in a season again.
I would say no. I think it's more the player than the number for people's frustrations.
I think it would be a little bit different, but I would agree. I do believe the majority go, oh, that guy used steroids. Because you have a lot of people that think if you use steroids, you shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. And the Hall of Fame to me isn't about did you play the game the right way. It's what did you perform numbers-wise and were you a great player? And yes, some guys more authentic than others. I want to hear the true story of everything. But since MLB allowed that, I can't then say this guy, his numbers and his records aren't valid.
Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to our awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football, live and on demand, wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today. Football season is here. The new Odyssey app lets you stay connected to your NFL team, your station, your shows. Follow your favorite stations and come back again and again. Get real-time updates on everything you care about. Miss your show? Jump back to their awesome rewind feature. The Odyssey app is NFL football. Live and on demand. Wherever you are, whenever you want. And did we mention it's all free? Download the Odyssey app today.